The most rage-provoking element of being female is the gaslighting that occurs. Oftentimes when we respond to someone doing something that was completely out of line, that response is treated like the offense itself. As a female headed into the world as a young adult, as a human being with human emotions, including anger, that makes me mad. Not frustrated, not exasperated, but mad.
Hi friends, I'm Lyle Wiley, a high school English teacher and speech and debate coach in Thermopolis, Wyoming, and your host of the One Clap Speech and Debate Podcast. This Speech Spotlight episode features Rock Springs High School alum Kennedy Nicole Thompson. Kennedy was a four-year Tiger, a successful PF debater, and the 2021 Wyoming State Champion in Original Oratory. The speech that she's sharing with us today is her state champion speech called Mad Woman. A quick word about how to use these Speech Spotlight episodes. First off, enjoy an excellent, very well done speech. The Speech Spotlight is another opportunity for students to share their unique and powerful voice to an audience in an audio format. So sit back and enjoy some brilliance from our speech and debate community. Second, consider how you might use this speech as a model for anyone who's looking to write and perform their own original oratories. Third, these speeches could be excellent learning tools for coaches and competitors. Actively reflecting on what makes a speech powerful or effective or even flawed can help coaches and competitors add more tools and ideas to their own speaking toolboxes. Also, one more thing before we check out Kennedy's awesome speech. Look for an upcoming episode that will complement Mad Woman, an interview with Kennedy in which she discusses her speech and her speech and debate experience, her original oratory, and more. Until then, please enjoy Kennedy Nicole Thompson's original oratory, Mad Woman.
My sincere apologies to Kanye West's ego and Scooter Braun's hurt feelings, but Taylor Swift's song Mad Woman is not about them. Hear me out. It has scorpion references, a boat, fire breathing. It's obviously about Daenerys Targaryen, mother of dragons from Game of Thrones. Those last two seasons, she had to put up with the men in her life constantly commenting on how angry she was. Even if you've never seen the show, you know what's guaranteed to make you mad? People saying, oh, you seem really mad. As Taylor Swift sings, when you say I seem angry, I get more angry. And no one likes a mad woman. Yep, Game of Thrones reference. Cosmo and Reddit both agree. Swift herself said this about the song in the documentary Folklore, The Long Pond Studio Sessions. The most rage-provoking element of being female is the gaslighting that occurs. Oftentimes when we respond to someone doing something that was completely out of line, that response is treated like the offense itself. As a female headed into the world as a young adult, as a human being with human emotions, including anger, that makes me mad. Not frustrated, not exasperated, but mad. Anger gives us the fire to push for change, the courage to fight injustice. And when we deny half the human population that power because we are uncomfortable with female anger, we are doing everyone a disservice. To better understand why we need to respect feminine rage, we'll first examine our historical discomfort with female fury. Next, we'll discover the transformative power of women's anger. Finally, we'll recognize the steps we all can take to destigmatize and legitimize women's anger. Every time you call me crazy, I get more crazy. What about that? The idea of women being insane when expressing themselves is nothing new. Nian Hu explains that 5,000 years ago in Egypt, hysteria was a purely female catch-all disorder used to explain anxiety and irritability. Because what real reason could women have for being upset? Hysteria continued to be a valid medical diagnosis in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders until just 40 years ago. That stigma that lasted for millennia still affects female behavior. Hannah Grove evaluates the tendency of females to shrink, attempting to fit into every environment they inhabit. Many of her findings include modification of speech, making phrases like, I'm sorry, but do you mind if, and this might be a dumb question, much more common in the language of females than it ever has been in males. She explains that too many of us have been conditioned to behave this way, making ourselves appear smaller and easier to handle, a feeling women know all too well. Saraya Kamali, in her book Rage Becomes Her, elaborates on this by noting that we minimize our anger, calling it frustration, irritation, words that don't convey the demand that anger does. Anger is about saying no. In a world where women are conditioned to say almost anything but no, this practice of shrinking is a form of invalidation and self-undermining, things that don't just affect the women doing it, but everyone around them as well. It sends a message that those in our families and friendships, including our workplaces, have inherently more power than we do. This has created a wide gap between how men and women's anger is treated and responded to, particularly in a professional context. A 2008 study from Harvard University has attested to this idea, finding that women who expressed anger in workplace settings were accorded lower status, lower wages, and less competency, where the opposite was true for men. In the case of Serena Williams, this continues to hold true. When Serena had an outburst at the 2018 US Open and ruined part of a court with her racket, she was fined $17,000. Many sports observers and fans pointed out that countless males have behaved in much worse manners on the court or field, yet rarely receive penalties, and when they do, in a more mild manner. The gender gap of anger is undeniably present and increasingly detrimental to destigmatizing feelings that every gender has. Taylor had it right when saying, "If I was a man, it would be okay if I was." Labeling women as irrational, unreasonably upset, or just plain crazy robs us from respect and equality in the workplace, in our relationships, and in society as a whole. When we try to shut down women's anger rather than harness it as a force for change, we hold ourselves back personally, socially, and politically. Susanna Rendurl notes that our aversion to anger is not benefiting us because anger is a tool. That's not to say that all anger, in all of its forms, is healthy or helpful. Clinical psychologist Bernard Golden explains that some anger, the unhealthy kind, is the kind that points at others without thought or deeper purpose, whereas healthy anger is the kind that demands reflection. This type of anger is an indication of injustice, a violated boundary, or a disrespectful interaction. Anger fuels motivation. PhD and social psychologist Carol Tavris writes, "Imagine what the women's suffrage movement would have been like if women had said, 'Guys, we're nice people. Won't you just listen to us and give us the vote?' Constructive anger has propelled us forward before and could do so even more powerfully if we allowed women to express their anger without picking and choosing what we want it to be about and how we as onlookers feel it should be expressed. From a young age, girls are generally told to manage their tempers, be polite, and practice self-control. Expressing that we're upset is perceived as the opposite of these traits we've been taught to embody, and this mentality conditions our response to emotions in our adult lives. Being competitive, having appropriate boundaries, or addressing an inappropriate run-in at work or in the home can often be interpreted as unfeminine or unkind, neither of which are true. Feminine qualities do not contradict power. They act as a facilitator for it. We need strong-willed women committed to stepping up and using their anger for good, not to put out the fire directed at injustice. It might seem like no one likes a mad woman, but when she helps to bring about social advancements for us all, we might reconsider." If you are thinking that the cycle of opposition to female anger was going to last forevermore, you aren't alone. But there are some steps we, as in all of us, can take to destigmatize and legitimize women's anger. The first step we can take is to stop opposing anger, since anger propels social, personal, and political change. Saraya Kamali explains that anger is one of our most powerful emotions. It creates transformation and brings our passions to life. This can happen even more fully when we have a vision for what we want to create, rather than just pointing out what we don't want to see. Saying something isn't working is easy. Working toward improvement is harder, but a necessary tool for a society. The next step is to acknowledge and accept the anger of women, assuming that if they're having an outburst, it's not because they're on their period. It's because of an injustice or inequality they have likely been facing for a long time. It's not only some men who need to examine their assumptions and evolve to respect female anger more. Women also often enforce unhealthy expectations among one another. As psychologist and feminist author Phyllis Kessler notes, women have internalized sexist beliefs, just like our male counterparts. We can all do better. In providing this space of understanding for women, we bridge some of the gender gap of anger in the workplace and in our relationships. Now, the far from final step is to not expect women to maintain this nice persona our society has assigned to them, as in not competitive, not confident or bold, or taking everything we're given with no complaint. We don't expect this from males. It's time to stop expecting it of ourselves and one another. Maya Angelou explains that we should be angry, and entails how we should use that anger as a catalyst for change. Through dancing, writing, marching, voting, and advocating, we can make a difference. Don't shake it off or tolerate it. When only half the world is allowed to use the fire that comes from reasonable anger, we will never get where we need to be. We learned this when we first examined the history of hysteria and the effects of suppressing women's anger. Next, we discussed why we should want to have powerful, full-voiced women. Lastly, we explored ways we can all do better at making room for the full range of women's opinions. Imagine how different the world would be if we harnessed the power of women's passions. Taylor Swift has a unique way of doing this. She says, "If you're horrible to me, I'm going to write a song about it, and you're not going to like it. That's how I operate. If I could write a chart-topping song every time I got mad, that would be great. But for now, I'll settle for just being heard."
Thank you so much to Kennedy for sharing her Wyoming State Championship-winning original oratory. Be on the lookout for one more upcoming episode featuring my interview with Kennedy. If you have an idea or a request for One Clap Speech and Debate, shoot me an email at lyawiley@gmail.com. or reach out on the One Clap Speech and Debate podcast website or social media linked in the show notes. It's time for some shout-outs. Thank you to everyone who is a patron of One Clap Speech and Debate. Your kind gifts help me keep this show going. Thank you to Marcus, Londi, Debbie, Missy, Ashley S., Ashley M., Beth, Laura, Brenda, Aaron, Terry, Tina, Alan, Matt, and Joel for your continued support. Check out our Patreon page, also linked in the show notes, if you'd like to join in support of One Clap Speech and Debate and partner with me on this journey this year. Thank you for listening, and Happy New Year from One Clap Speech and Debate.
Happy Holidays from One Clap Speech and Debate.